It's Power Hour LSU.
Shout out LSU baseball. We beat Nick Golds earlier today, 8-1. But I want to talk about Mr. Lane Kiffin and his favorite person on the planet Earth, which, of course, is Paul Finebaum. And this was earlier today on Get Up with ESPN.
And who won the offseason in college football from your standpoint?
Lane Kiffin. How many times do I need to say that? He dominated the end of the season with his move and then the CFP chaos, and then he brought in the portal. And you mentioned Levitt. That was a major acquisition. He desperately had to have a quarterback, but he did so well in the portal. That could be a problem, though. He's got so many new players on that team. But I think even with a difficult schedule, LSU is a CFP team.
And before we get to what the great Lewis Riddick had to say, I love me some Paul Finebaum. I don't care that he's a Bammer. I don't care that he has said bad things about LSU. I don't care about any of that. Obviously, I've shared this once before. Paul was nothing but nice to me when I was an LSU student. I've just still couldn't believe this to this day. I met him in the press box in 2010, LSU versus Auburn. And somehow, some way, he found my personal email address and sent me an email saying how much it meant to him that I, a student, went up and talked to him. That's how awesome he has been to younger personalities out there. So I'm always going to love me some Paul Finebaum. I got to reconnect with him at the SEC championship game a few years ago. But I do agree, obviously. Let's continue.
You love him as well, too, Lewis.
Absolutely. Look, I don't think there's anyone who understands the portal as well as Lane, quite honestly. You can say what you want about him. This guy has mastered that. He's been killing it over the past 3 years as far as understanding that kids kind of vibe a little bit differently now. It's not the same as it used to be when I came out of school. Kids will change schools in a heartbeat, and he's able to connect with them, and his coaching staff is able to connect with them in a way that gets them to come and want to play in his offense in particular. Here's the one thing, though. I can tell you this. This is the thing that I don't know how many people have talked about this, but Lane believes that at LSU he can also attract top-flight defensive players, which is something he struggled with at Ole Miss. And quite honestly, they got one of the best safeties in the portal in Ty Benefield out of Boise State, who is a fantastic – I mean, he is a freak of an athlete. He gets Prince Will, Uman Mielen, to come over from Ole Miss with him. He gets Jordan Seaton, offensive tackle out of Colorado. He gets his own offensive tackle out of Ole Miss from last year. He got not one. He got two quarterbacks in the portal.
Yep.
So they are set up right now, and he's got a hell of a coaching staff. Look, Charlie Weiss Jr. will figure out a way to get all these guys to play together. Lane is going to turn that program around quickly. Say what you want about him and the way in which it happened, but the dude knows how to build football teams in the modern day.
Remember, this is the same Lewis Riddick who banged the table for Tyler Shuck. There was nobody in the major draft Twittersphere that talked more about how much he thought Tyler Shuck was going to be the real deal, and he was. He almost won Rookie of the Year. Now, look, we'll see what Tyler Shuck does in year two, but the truth remains the same. You cannot deny what Lane Kiffin has done. Now, I want to look at each and every one of you in the face before we go any further. I want to repeat what I said yesterday, but just in a different tone, because I want you to appreciate what just transpired this offseason. The main thing that everyone is focused on with Lane Kiffin It's actually two things. Number one is the actual way that he moved from Ole Miss to LSU. But number two, and I think this is a more important thing, the players. You heard Lewis Riddick talk about Prince Will. You heard Lewis Riddick bring up Ty Benefield. You know, Ty's name doesn't get brought up a whole lot. It's normally Prince Will, Seton, and Levitt. So there's been so much focus on the players. But you saw today a very popular sitting college football head coach in Thomas Hammack leave Northern Illinois for an NFL job as a running backs coach. He left a head coaching job to be an assistant coach in the NFL. When a college coach has had a decision between going to the NFL or staying in college, what do they normally do? They make that jump, especially in the transfer portal era. And what has happened? Over the last couple of off seasons, we have seen that as well. But for LSU, it's, quote, just different. It's not just a saying. It really is what it is. It's just different, baby. Because guess what? Charlie Weiss had plenty of opportunities to actually make that leap to be an offensive coordinator at the NFL level. Now, were they serious, a gazillion percent offers? Maybe so. Maybe not. But there was so much smoke around his name with the Philly job open. That's a team that just won the Super Bowl. That's a team with a loaded roster. And then the Giants job was open with Jackson Dart, a quarterback that he's actually familiar with. And then, of course, you had Jake Olson, opposite side of the football. Washington Commanders job. There's only 32 safety jobs in the NFL. Olson's name was connected to the Commanders. Verge Osbury joined Matt Moscone yesterday, and they're able to keep Jake Olson in Baton Rouge. Now, of course, if Jake is getting more money to stay in Baton Rouge than he is to go to the NFL, that makes sense. But he still made the decision to stay at LSU. Y'all, this is just different. This coach is just different. It's impossible to ignore. And we're just very lucky to have him here. Shout out, once again, LSU baseball. Hit a grand salami. I still can't believe that Baylor player a few days ago hit a grand salami three separate times. That is absolutely insane. But on top of that, LSU baseball continues to roll. They are undefeated. Obviously, none of this means anything until the SEC bullets start flying. But it means something, right? You had to come back and win that game. And then basically since then, it's been blowout city. But I will also say that it's always nice to see LSU baseball play these in-state schools. And I will say it a gazillion times, so I'm blue in the face, even though I love women's college basketball more than baseball. I love men's college basketball more than baseball. I love football more than baseball at the collegiate level. There's no sport right now that is healthier than college baseball. And one thing, the only big thing that was holding college baseball back, it was two things, but this was more of a grand scale thing, this first thing. It's the length of the games being nine innings long. But the second thing that was holding college baseball back was the 11.7 scholarship limit for a total roster. Now that that tomfoolery is out the way, this is a real deal sport. And I'm so excited that my team is by far the best program in this sport. Are there other great programs? Sure. But how many of them have Jay Johnson as their coach? How many of them have Monster Milam as their shortstop? How many of them have Derek Curiel in center field? How many of them have Jake Brown hitting the ball out of the ballpark? How many of them? Not many. And here's the thing I would tell you. If you join our Discord, we have two baseball experts in there, Sam and D. Riley. They know so much about baseball. Like, it is ridiculous. They have been dishing out some hot takes that I just simply don't agree with that I wouldn't even say publicly. So join us as a member of the Discord. Once again, you get a free month on me when you sign up, and you get a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. Now, I want to talk a little bit here before we get into a few LSU football specific stuff. You're also going to see another LSU hype video coming up here in just a moment. I do think now that, you know, I decided to go with my older backdrop here, I want to talk just briefly about Jaden Daniels. All right. So, you know, would have been nice to see Jaden be fully healthy this past year. But at the same time, this stat blew my mind. And it really took me actually looking this up myself. But, you know, there are all these legendary quarterback runs in the NFL playoffs that never actually result in you getting to the Super Bowl. Okay. You never actually see it. But there's a lot of people that make runs in the Super Bowl at the quarterback position and they don't even play well. Jaden Daniels last year had one of the best runs we have ever seen from any quarterback over a three-game span. He torched Tampa Bay, he torched the Lions, and then he torched the Philadelphia Eagles defense. It's just his defense stunk, and there's turnovers that weren't his fault. And he lost that game. Did you know that Jaden Daniels had a higher QBR in all three of those games than Caleb Williams had in either one of these two playoff games he just played, and a higher QBR than any of the games that Drake May played? In fact, you can make a case that both of them didn't play a great game in any of the playoff games. Caleb had a ridiculous comeback versus the Packers, and then he had a ridiculous one, that ridiculous play versus the Rams. Y'all, I just want to publicly state that I still think Jaden Daniels is better than both of them. And I understand this is an LSU show. Stick with current LSU stuff. But it's been bothering me, because I do listen to a lot of national sports talk, how crazy it is that it's Caleb Williams this, Caleb Williams that, Drake May this, Drake May that, when their coaching is so much better than Jaden's coaching. It's just the truth. So, fully healthy Jaden Daniels is still that guy. I want that to be known. He is still that guy, all right? So, see, I kind of want to pull up the QBRs myself, but it is what it is, okay? Now, I just have one of my favorite college football fullbacks follow me on Twitter. That's crazy. It was Rohan Jones. That's pretty cool. He played for Arkansas. I love him. He's from Canada. Now, next thing for me, if I were to pick one wide receiver to lead LSU in receiving next year, it would be Jace Brown. This has been a very popular question in our Discord. Well, not in our Discord, but I got two DMs via our Discord about the wide receiver room, okay? And it was pretty simple. One was from Mike, and then the other was from Chris. And it's simple. I think Jace Brown is going to be the leading receiver for LSU next year. I do. I'm a believer in his talent. I think what he did last year for Kansas State is going to be similar to what he's going to do next year for LSU. But at the same time, Jace Brown is going to have some heavy competition. Now, I do want to include that there was a pretty big fake report about Trey Wilson earlier today. And it actually wasn't earlier today. It's still getting passed around about some demands he asked for in the transfer portal. These same rumors happened with Jack Pyburn. I don't know if it's a Florida thing, but, you know, it is what it is. I would tell you, though, that they are false. They are false. Now, as far as this offense is concerned, I do think the slot wide receiver position is the single most fascinating position battle for next year. Now, why do I say that? Well, there's two big, and I mean massive, stories regarding this wide receiver room. The first is the sheer volume. There's so many receivers that are coming in that are not from the state of Louisiana. All right, so this is a completely different philosophy from how LSU wide receiver rooms have been in the past. In the past, it's been all about one thing. If you're from the state of Louisiana, you have an infinite likely or more likely chance to be a productive receiver than if you weren't. And this streak was broken recently by CJ Daniels. But prior to CJ Daniels, there had not been an out-of-state wide receiver at LSU that caught over 40 passes in a year since Terrence Tolliver in the 2010s. All right, so it has mostly been Louisiana high school players. Now, you had a few kind of role guys like Stephon Sullivan, D. Anderson, and all of that. This year, it's going to be different. Now, I do want to bring up Alexander, who says Philip Wright is going to be one of those, is going to beat one of those transfers out. He's going to have to beat more than one of them out. And McCann, we'll get to that comment in just a second. But what I want you to think about is the sheer volume. What is Malik Elzey going to do? What if I told you I just made that name up? And you would have been like, oh, okay, it makes sense. We signed a gazillion transfer portal receivers. Carter just made a name up. But no, he actually is a transfer coming in from Illinois. What if it's him? What if it's Mothershed? I mean, there are so many. And then you have the Corey Barber kid that becomes very interesting. He gets that fifth star from On3. But it's mostly been, over the last decade or so, it has mostly been Louisiana guys at the wide receiver position. Now, number one, what makes it interesting is the sheer volume. But what makes this even more interesting is that there's going to be more cooks in the kitchen in terms of who actually decides who's going to play. So you have Lane. Lane is the ultimate decider of every football decision. And then, of course, you have Charlie, who is calling the plays. So those two have authority, obviously, on everyone else in the offense. But now, your wide receiver coaching group is split up. You have Sawyer Jordan, inside receivers coach, and then you have George McDonald, pass game coordinator, outside receivers coach, and they basically obviously help each other out. They all work together. But you're going to have more input, whereas last year, it mostly was one guy deciding it, and that was Cortez Hankton. All right, and then obviously BK was involved, and then obviously Joe Sloan, who will be on an opposite sideline this next year for Kentucky. So, you know, as much as I want to say, hey, Jace Brown is going to be the guy, I think most people are saying Jace Brown is going to be the guy. This is not a Cam Coleman situation where I know Cam Coleman's going to be all SEC next year for Texas. If he's not, then something is wrong at Texas, because Ryan Wingo was also bulletproof this past year, and it did not work out for him. But I'm just going to tell you straight up, I am a big, big, big believer in this wide receivers room. And as I've dug deeper, you know, I can't quit singing the praises of George McDonald. That's it. I did not think Ole Miss had great receivers going into last year. I knew they had some good portal ones. But the fact that they were able to have the best wide receiver core in the SEC, maybe outside of A&M, was crazy. After losing Trey Harris. That's stuff that LSU does. Oh, we lose Jamar Chase? No biggie. Here's Kayshon Boutte. Oh, we don't have Kayshon anymore? Okay, no biggie. Here's Malik. You know, it's always been that way at LSU. Last year was that way for Ole Miss. George McDonald is a big-time coach. Now, there's a lot of that Lane and Charlie, yeah. But this is a big-time assistant. This is the biggest upgrade, arguably outside of head coach, going from Hankton, who I don't think was bad. I really don't think Cortez Hankton was bad. But I do think McDonald is going to have what he wants figured out a lot quicker. And I'm really excited about that. But as BT points out, Ole Miss was mossing people last year. Amicat wants to talk about Dwayne Bowe. You know I'm always down for that. Not a great year for LSU in the NFL. Yeah, mostly true. Malik was probably the saddest, if we're being honest. Let's see. Let's go to Becoming Tyrant. He wants to talk about Jackson Harris. 49 receptions on almost 1,000 yards is insane. So Jackson Harris comes over wearing a pretty legendary LSU number, 9. Big, big, big time. Deep threat. I mean, we're talking about 16, 17 yards per pop. Kid's got juice. So, you know, I wonder when he signed if he knew that that many wide receivers were going to sign alongside him. Because he was the first, or he was one of the first. I believe he was the first. Kid can play. Yes, a Hawaii wide receiver. It was funny. I was listening to Stugatz. Love me some Stugatz. And he got his own national sports radio show. And there's a guy who calls into his radio show always asking about Hawaii players. So they had Todd McShay on. I love Todd McShay. It was funny because Todd was on a show and a friend of our show brought up our channel's name with Todd McShay sitting there, which was so cool. I've always been a big McShay fan. So they have Todd McShay on and he's on this national radio show and it, you know, he's a busy man. This is draft season. And this random caller says, hey, are there any NFL draftable prospects from Hawaii? And McShay was so radio silent. I believe Stugatz said, don't pay attention to him. But I wanted to call in and scream, remember the name Jackson Harris, which technically he would be still a Hawaii prospect, even though he's with us now. Because I do think Harris is good. I do. I really, really, really do. There are some instances where you watch him and you're like, man, I could see him being watered down, Trey Harris, for LSU next year. But yeah, I'm really freaking excited about old Jackson Harris as well. I think for me, if you want to get into Hawaii football, I got to see Colt Brennan play. I went to that Sugar Bowl versus Georgia where they got their faces caved in by the Georgia pass rush. And it was like, God, just wave the white flag for goodness sakes. But yes, the Hawaii wide receiver. Now, tomorrow I will reveal my full SEC power rankings for our live stream at 6 p.m. Central. I do want to publicly say this before we go to our break here with Labor Therapy. LaborTherapy.com. I did release a new project I've been working on. You can find it on TikTok. You can find it on Instagram. It's called Recruit Wheel. That is it. And basically the gist of it is I spin a wheel and it has a year on one wheel. And then on the other wheel, it has 1,000 numbers. And the first number, look, I'll pull it up. I got one right here. I think a lot of you, if you are recruiting nerds, you would like this. The first number is the year of the recruit. So the next recruit will be 2019. Okay. And then this wheel right here is a number between 1 and 1,000. And I said to myself, I'm not going to tell you guys I'm going to do one until I actually spin an LSU player. So 2019, recruit number 244. All right, so I go look it up. And you've got to really be a recruiting nerd or a college football historian to really enjoy this stuff. It's not for everybody. So we have, what is it, recruit number 244 in the year 2019. All right. So I'm going to look that up. And then basically, I just do an audit of how that player that day. Why not just turn this into something? Some of you might find it boring. Like I said, if you are a nerd, you're going to love it. And let's see who recruit 244 was. Okay. All right, hold on. I accidentally X'd out of it. Recruit number 244. I actually got to go back now. Yeah, no, super smooth. So let's see who it is. Jaden Davis. A corner from St. Thomas Aquinas. He was pretty good. You rarely actually get a good player. Like normally it's somebody that phased out because the odds are against you to pull a good player. Because I'm spinning out of 1,000 players in a certain class. And Jaden Davis got drafted by the Arizona Cardinals. So how about that? So I'll do a video on Jaden Davis later. That's basically it. So I spun my first LSU player, and it'll come out soon. And it is a Pro Bowler. It was pretty good. All right, coming up next, we'll take a look at what Lane Kiffin tweeted.
Power Hour Network listeners and viewers, you might be consuming this content with that crick in your back that you've been trying to get rid of for so long. Take this as your sign today to book your appointment with LaBoardTherapy.com. In the Lafayette region, there is no one that you will find that cares more about any different type of pain that you might have than the team at LaBoardTherapy.com. Book today. Once again, that's LaBoardTherapy.com, or you can visit one of their five locations all throughout the Lafayette region.
What did Lane tweet today? Big shout out once again to Laborde Therapy and LaboredTherapy.com. All right. Last time they were in Tiger Stadium, 2019 LSU. Look at that. Got the squad. Knox. That is crazy. The Joey B jersey and all. You also see in the back, Justin. Looks like Terrace Marshall. Jarrell Cherry back there. Good stuff. And we have Cookie on the monkey bars. Man, I can't do any form of pull-up. am working on the Lazo.
Good. This is where you want to use your feet. Swing.
Good.
Come on.
There you go. Lane getting some ice cream. How about that? I've actually been here before. I took my my nephew, Parker, there. And that's it. Lane's basically enjoying some time off. Actually, no. I don't think this is Baton Rouge. No, it's not. Yes, he says Boca Raton. But I did take my nephew Parker to an ice cream shop that's similar. There. All right. So I want to share a quick story. So I am doing a list of the most underrated LSU football players of the past two decades. All right. And I'll get to the I'll get to your trade-ass green question in a minute, Alexander. What I need you to do, if you're listening to this via iTunes or Spotify, if you're listening to this live, I want you to tell me who is truly an underrated LSU Tiger. Now, this is my one stipulation. And you can share it live in the chat right now, but I want you to comment under this video. There is one stipulation. This player cannot be an all-conference or better player, right? I don't want you to say, hey, most underrated LSU player is Lyle Collins, right? It doesn't make any sense. Or like Trey Turner. Like Trey Turner, I think he was all-conference, but you get the point, right? Not a whole – I would say – most of you know who Trey Turner is. And most of you realize that he was a truly elite talent here. And he was a five-time Pro Bowler in the NFL. I want someone that was either a late-round NFL draft pick or like a deep cut, like Terrence Tolliver, who we mentioned a minute ago. Later-round pick, never made all-conference, but he won us a lot of football games. God bless America. He won us a lot of football games. Cotton Bowl versus A&M, he was our best player on offense. Tyrann Mathieu was by far the best player on the field that night. But we do not beat Tennessee that year. We do not beat Florida that year. He's very underrated. You know, that season was really good. That 2010 team was really good. I could argue the 2010 team was good enough to win a national championship. We ran into Cam Newton in Jordan-Hare, and that game was close. Ron Brooks, that's a good one. Charles Scott, very good one. Richard Murphy. Yeah, Richard Murphy was good. I do think people remember Richard Murphy maybe a little bit better because he was a number 18. I don't think Richard Murphy ever had a 400-yard rushing season. That's normally my gauge if you rush for 400 yards. He might have had one. I don't know. Go to Alexander. Do you think Tredez will be more on the boundary like he was in his freshman year? Yeah, this is going to be a hard thing, and Jordan says divinity. You know, I do think the Tredez Green role in this offense is a wide range of roles. So will he actually play tight end? I don't know if I actually want him to be the tight end. And I think for me, the single most underrated fact or the most underrated transfer that LSU brought in is Malachi Thomas. because I do think with the way things are set up now, he has the best shot of being the tight end too. And what if LSU wants Trey Des Green to just be a slot or just a wide receiver in general? And even then, if Trey Des is a tight end, maybe LSU says, look, we want to do more 12 personnel next year. So, yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. But if Trey Des Green could be the Daquan Wright of this offense, that would be the biggest win for LSU next year. Because it really starts to become unfair if he is the every down tight end for LSU. I'm serious. It could be really, really, really unfair. Now, you know, I wanted to share a quick story here about Mardi Gras. So Mardi Gras happened, and it is amazing how much better social media is during Mardi Gras. Because social media during an LSU game, it's such a wide range of emotions. I would say most people tweet their disgust during a game instead of, wow, we won or whatever. Louisiana social media is always at its best during Mardi Gras. And there is no difference there. I saw people in some parades throwing TVs, all floats, throws, all that kind of stuff. We saw Tyler Shuck on a float, Drew Brees on a float, Lane Kiffin on a float, Kevin Smith and Cookie on a float. And I feel like I should celebrate that on a sports channel. Because this is a good time to be an LSU fan. You got Lane Kiffin. You got Kim Mulkey rearing up for hopefully another Final Four run. You got LSU baseball number one in the country. But this was, to me, the saddest thing. I was going through all my family's photos at Mardi Gras. I was going through all these different things. And I get to my score app to check the scores. And I was like, oh, yeah. LSU versus Texas men's basketball is on tonight. And we are right there at it at the end, playing Texas. We were 10.5 point underdogs. We covered, especially at a layup there at the end. But we lost by three. Lost by three. And you know, I do give LSU basketball credit. I don't think it's necessarily that they don't play hard. I don't think that's why they're losing. It's very easy in the portal era to just say, hey, I don't give a you know what about any of this. But I do want to commend them for playing hard. But I am ready for something. I am ready for something new. And I think a lot of you are as well. But I don't want to get to the point where I'm so laissez-faire about LSU men's basketball where I'm not even discussing it at all. Like I'm just overlooking all of this. And it's maddening. It really is. Ain't nobody care that you're 6'8", catch the ball. Yeah, the drops from Trey Des were nuts. He had some tough ones. But the one versus Alabama was the one that just got you, man. So 2025, obviously, He had the Tre'Davious Green drop, and then in 2023, he had the Mason Taylor drop. Ugh. Let's go to Richard Murphy split carries with Charles Sky, Keela Williams, and Steven Ridley. Yeah. I think so. Murphy was a member of the 2017. So 20. I will say Richard Murphy probably had the best spring game running back performance I've ever seen. It was crazy. Now, you know, I don't do much Saints stuff on here, but I have started like some of my draft prep. And, you know, I keep going back and forth on what the Saints should do at 8. I am more excited about what the Saints are going to do at 8 than what they were going to do at 9 last year, because, you know, things are so much easier in the NFL when you have a plan at quarterback. All right, so you might not be a Tyler Shuck guy, and that's okay, but at least we have a plan. We're going to try this out. Second-round quarterback on a rookie deal. And we hit on our first-round pick last year with Kelvin Banks. We'll see if Uaga continues to develop. And I've looked at quite a few mocks, and Francis Mayuga, I'm not saying his last name correct, the Miami offensive tackle, has been mocked there. Jordan Tyson has been mocked quite a bit for the Saints at pick number 8. That was Sam Levitt's number one option at wide receiver out of Arizona State. Do you think Jordan Tyson is a Territorio McMillan type of talent? That's who the Carolina Panthers took at 8. I don't know. But for me, Jordan Tyson is very interesting. I still think, though, if this player, Caleb Downs, is available, I just think he's too good to pass up. I really do think so. I understand that there's other safeties. I understand that Sanker looked pretty good last year. But I do think that's one of those instances where you just need to take the absolute best player, regardless of him being a premium position. But I do think that number 8 pick, there is so much prime rib in that spot. I really do think so. What if the Saints draft another Golden Domer and Jeremiah Love? I would love that. I really would. Yeah, so Jacob Hester had the most carries in 2007. So if I remember correctly, once again, I don't have this in front of me. There were 5 running backs that had 35 carries on that team. It was Hester, Scott, Keelan, Trendon, and Murphy. And that's rare. That's rare when you have 5 different ball carriers toting the football that many times. That's how fun that team was. And then we get to the final player. What if Mansoor Delane is there for the Saints at 8? Let's see. But if what if Mecoidius Bain? Now, if you're a diehard LSU, you know who that is. But what if Reuben Bain is there? Do you go in that direction? Once again, there's just so much meat at pick number 8. And it's all easier because we have a quarterback. You don't have to be on the Shuck train. I wasn't at first. I even told Tyler that when I met him. Had a great convo with Tyler. But I'm a believer. Let me see. This is crazy. Someone, So I have 247 pulled up, and I always look at 247 every day. Hey, that's how much I freaking love, like, college football and recruiting. And it's not necessarily, like, figuring out which kid is going to go where. That gets tiring. But it's more so just the idea, the star rankings, all of it. I love it all. And the way 247 has their page set up, if you were to go there and just go to the high school recruits, you would think Richard Anderson jumped Lamar Brown in the rankings, but they have it different for early enrollees, later enrollees, and all of that. You know, I think for me, there is a lot of chatter about Richard Anderson playing a lot next year in year one. And I do think there is room for top-end defensive tackle play. As in, that room has the highest chance on defense to fluctuate from now until Clemson in week one. I love it. I'm telling you, working out is such a big part of my life now. The hardest thing cardio-wise to do in the gym is that air bike. That bike that they were on, it's different than your normal cardio bike. It's a lot harder. They're called assault bikes. Yes, assault. That is what those bikes do to your body. Now, I don't know if their bikes are Assault brand bikes, but the ones I use are Assault brand bikes. Crazy. All right. We'll take a few more here once again. And we are looking to grow the Patreon membership, all that good stuff. We will have a new film study out on Monday. Pretty pumped up about that. You know, I was during that recruit wheel. One of my favorite things about doing this new project is it makes you start thinking about how many college football players legit came in, did their job, and no one knows who they are. All right, so how many of you know who Josh Ross is? Josh Ross, he was a I would say probably a like a Brandon Taylor level player. Because, you know, like at every single school, 90% of the diehard college football fans at every single school know who Tyrann Mathieu is. They know who Patrick Peterson is. They know who Joe Burrow is. But how many of them know who Rashard Lawrence is? Or how many of them know who Kerry Vincent is, or someone like that? So one of the coolest things about like actually looking into these different rosters is how many of these guys actually did something. And it's literally the funnest thing. This is one of the funnest projects I've ever started. And it's fascinating because college football is so hard. It is so hard to be good at this. And Josh Ross was a linebacker at Michigan. He wasn't great. He's still in the NFL. He was good, though. I wouldn't consider him like elite. Played with Aiden Hutchinson and Ojabo and all those great Michigan defenders. So it's like, it's so strange when you look at so many of these different recruits. And as I've done this longer, you begin to realize that sometimes recruits fail for stuff that has nothing to do with football. Sometimes it is just there was a big injury. You know, LaTerrence Welsh was one of those guys. Big injury. Never was the same. So it's there is so much of that in college football recruiting about why guys don't work out. I looked up a player who went to Rutgers. Pretty good player. Really highly decorated lower tier recruit, but good tape and all that stuff. He got there, tore his ACL, and was never the same. Went to JUCO, didn't record a single stat. So there is so much of that that we never actually even know about. And it had stuff to do completely out of their control. I spun another player, and you can go look at it now. Once again, it's Recruit Wheel on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. And it was a recruit by the name of Trey Cooley. All right. And if that name sounds familiar, yeah, there is a Cooley on LSU. This is his brother, DeMarcus Cooley. It's Trey Cooley's brother. So Trey Cooley began his career as a four-star running back out of North Carolina. He goes to Georgia Tech, or he goes to Louisville, had a great true freshman season. And then for some reason, he faded. So he goes from Louisville to Georgia Tech, and he starts off hot, and then he just kind of fades out of that offense. And he spent his fifth year of college ball with what was a weird situation. Troy. He goes to Troy. So he gets out of Division I P4 altogether, and there was a lot of buzz. A lot. Well, what happened? Nothing. Nothing. Except he got hurt. So the year before, Trey Cooley got knocked out of a game by Reuben Bain. Reuben Bain literally decapitated him. And after that injury, he just redshirted. He was like, no, I'm out. I would have done the same thing. And then he spent this final year at Troy, and he tore his knee up before the season even began. So there's just so much luck. Like, there's very few, like, Devin White-level players that are good everywhere they go. They're so transcendent of a player that they could lose both of their legs and still get drafted in the first round. There's so much of that. Like, it is crazy how much of that exists. And one other thing, when you start looking into the recruiting rankings, and I've become friends with a few people very involved in 247, and I have friends at On3 as well, is there are so many composite level players that are more highly rated because of their composite score than their actual score. And one red flag for me is when a player has a high composite score, but the services aren't necessarily on fire about him. So like a good example of this was Jaylen Brown a few years ago. So Jaylen Brown was a five-star receiver when he committed to LSU. And Cortez Hankton got him. We beat out Miami. We beat out Florida State. And I was diving deeper, and he started sinking in the rankings. And as I looked closer, I was like, you know what's funny? He's a five-star receiver, but 247 and On3 don't necessarily love him. They had him in like the hundreds, or like just outside, or just inside the 100. So what happened? Well, his ranking was high because none of the services just hated him, but none of the services actually loved him. So there is danger in those composite rankings. There's a lot of danger. So, you know, that's why like Lamar Brown, he is a top 10 national recruit on all the services. That they would be diabolically wrong if he's not good. Diabolically wrong. Which there's a lot of risk in that, because Lamar Brown is very similar to that of Harold Perkins. No one truly, in their heart of hearts, a gazillion percent, knows what his best position actually is. Like, we'll never know if Harold Perkins could have been like an all-SEC running back. We just don't know. But even with that, the services still love Lamar Brown. Offensive lineman, okay, you're a five-star. Defensive lineman, you're a five-star. That's how freak of an athlete this kid is. It's a very fascinating proposition. So once again, check out Recruit Will. You're going to love it. Now, coming up tomorrow, we will give out our own version of the SEC Power Rankings. Yesterday, we reacted to the Power Rankings from one of the best SEC commentators, Michael W. Bratton, and he had LSU number 7. Where will I have LSU in my first Power Rankings? We will reveal that tomorrow. Once again, there's plenty of other channels that will break down every single pitch of every single game of LSU baseball, but I do have to give Jay Johnson so much credit for taking care of business 8-1. The salami from Mr. Caraway. Don't hate. I love it. Good stuff. And I will see you tomorrow at 6. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. I'll give you the photo right now. Brothers of Minecraft, all you got to do is reach through the camera. That's a cool thing about your hand will appear through here. This is yours. Oh, man. I wish I could give it to you, but I can't. Tonight, we are doing, we're doing some chicken enchiladas. The sister-in-law hooked it up. Let's go. Let's go.